Secondly, you might remember my Shvetzer Koron Lebrocha. That's
Kof Aleph Iyar, Sunday the 26th of May, Rabbi Avi Tumim. The check that was never banked. This week's Torah away has been sponsored L'chvod Simchas Bar Mitzvah Avi Strom, which is the Shabbos Parshas Bahar. Warm Mazel Tov wishes to grandparents Kaufman and Strom and to our Torah away regular Opa Kaufman.
Good morning. Thank you very much for another opportunity. The opening comments, Rashi, in this week's Parsha. Im bechukosai teilechu, shetiu amelim b'toyo. And the Or HaChaim very famously has 42 explanations on this pasuk. We're not going to go through all 42. There's a story behind it. I believe they were written according to the story when he was locked up in prison. He wrote 16 shabbos. He was locked up in prison for one shabbos. So every sudi he wrote another. He was mechadish another 16 mahalchim in the pasuk. According in his opening comments, he says was im bechukosai teilechu. Says the. The amelos of Ubalechtecho Baderech, taking the Torah with you wherever you go, that is what's meant, a remez in Pasuk Imechosei Teilechu. You take it with you when you walk. And I think starting the Torah away in between Shacharis and on your way to business can be said Imechosei Teilechu. He has another idea which later on he says the Chukosei is used by Chazal as a remez with the Pasuk Chukos Shemayim Ba'oretz. That it's a remez to the hanhoga of the heaven and the earth. So in the chukosai teilechu, if you take a limud from the consistency, from the never ceasing reliance of the shemayim va'aretz, they produce consistency every day, and that's how you do. That's your attitude towards Torah. So then you're zeicha to the bracha. So especially the effort to come on Sunday morning, I think definitely classifies as amelim b'Torah. And certainly those who consistently come to Hashem Torah the way should all be zeicha to the brachas in the Pasha, and I'm happy to be a small part of it. So the topic actually, the unbanked check, is came into being, and it's probably on the way out now when we're talking about checks with the advent of e-payments, etc., and online banking, but it has ramifications and different ideas. So when checks came into usage, so there was a question by the halachis, how to define a check? Is a check cash? Is a check not cash? Is it a shtar chayv? Is it an IOU? And the ramifications of that have cropped up in several different arenas. You mean kaddish ish of the check? Can you be poida a pigan haben with a check? Give a check to the kohen? Can you buy your arba minim? There were ramifications with regards to ribis. A big problem is what happens if someone goes to a check and he gets a discounted rate of cash back for the check. So has he lent the person money and received less back in return, in which case he's paying back more than he's actually received, is that ribis or not? But the aspect that I want to focus on today is what happens when you give somebody a check and that check never ends up being banked. So now, if you buy something in a shop and you pay the fellow cash, that's the end of the deal. If he loses that cash, he's got no recourse. Why should he come back to you? You sold me something, I paid for it. End of the deal, end of the story, I don't know you anymore. So now,
what's cash?
Cash.
What's cash?
Cash. That stuff that you make in your kitchen. Yeah? So, what happens now, if I went into the shop, and I paid for a check, I paid for it by check, and the check gets lost. The check does not get used. Do we regard that as the thing that I paid? I gave you the check. You could have banked it. You lost it. Your problem. If I paid you cash, you lose it. It's your problem. Or not. Now, the definition of the question here really is, obviously, you've not received any payment. You received a check. The check is the ability to withdraw that cash, to deposit it in the bank and withdraw it. Does the fact that I've given you that ability, does that constitute a payment or not? Now, there may be a legal precedent for such a ruling, and that's found in the Gemara in Baba Kama. There's a Gemara in Baba Kama, Daf Kufte Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara in Baba Kama, Kufte Zayin Amud Aleph, in the context of the discussion there, records an incident that took place with Rav Safra. Rav Safra was traveling in a group of Shayoro, some sort of caravan, and it would appear that they had animals with them which needed protecting during their travels. Now, they didn't have a guard dog. They had a guard lion, You had a lion with them, which used to protect the camp and to scare off any possible intruders or other animals possibly. Now, the lion needs to be fed. So every day, one person would give an animal to a donkey or whatever it was, to this animal, and that would be the food for the lion. Now, when it came to Asaphel's turn, so he put his lion there overnight, and it came in the morning, and the lion hadn't eaten it. So the Gemara says, Asaphel went quickly and grabbed his lion back.
Not the lion, his donkey.
His donkey back, sorry. He grabbed his donkey, his uneaten donkey, grabbed it back. And he was zoicha in his own donkey. Because essentially it was hefka. Because he placed it there in a situation not expecting him to retrieve it. Now he reacquired his donkey before anyone else could get a hold of it. And the Gemara there is discussing, was it necessary for him to reacquire it or not? That's the context of the Dashon of the Gemara. But the be that as it may, the Shetim of Kibetzes on that Gemara brings various comments of the different commentators. And one of the comments he brings there is the Tosafot Shamas. The Tosafot Shamas says that Rav Safra was not required to place the donkey there the next night. That means every person has to put a donkey there. And everyone's got a turn. Rav Safra's turn came, and he had no loss. He suffered no loss. But he put his donkey there. He'd done his bit, and he'd fulfilled his obligation by putting a donkey there and giving the possibility of the lion to eat the food, even though he suffered no loss. So he has paid his share, so to speak, to the communal obligation, and tomorrow night will be somebody else's turn, and he'll have to put the food there. So he's not required to, so he has done his bit. So this would seem to give rise to the argument that yes, I may have an obligation, and it may well be it's a financial obligation. But the fact that I have given the possibility for you to have that, receive that financial compensation, the fact that I never suffered a loss at the end, is irrelevant. Now, the question takes its form in various shapes and sizes. So we just spoke about the basic, very basic question of whether the giving of a check, which was unbanked, do you still have to pay or not? But the incident that took place was a little bit more complicated. There was two people, two friends, they went into the shop. And they wanted to, and one of them wanted to buy something. So it comes to the till to buy something, and he realizes he hasn't got his wallet on him today. So he turns around to his friend, and his friend says, he says to his friend, do me a favor, pay for me, and I'll pay you back. His friend says, you know, I also don't have any cash on me, I've got a check. And he writes out a check to the storekeeper, and the storekeeper accepts that as payment. And so now, fine, and he received his goods, he has to pay his friend back. Now, as it turns out, he wrote an open check, whether it was wisely, stupidly, whatever it was, but he wrote an open check. Now the storekeeper decided not to use the check for himself. He passed it on to someone else. He received some other goods from somebody else. He passed it on. And that got passed on to a third person, a fourth person, a fifth person. Eventually, somewhere in the washing machine, this check got lost. And we don't know where in the line, in the chain it got lost. But that's certain it's lost and it's not going to resurface. And that's certain it's never been actually banked. But we don't know who suffered the loss. So no one to go back to and say, listen here, the check, that the guy at the end of the line who suffered the loss, we don't know where he is, we don't know who he is, we can't identify him. So now we have a situation where the two friends now have a discussion between themselves. It says, the first guy received his goods, he never actually paid for them, but he told his friend, when you give the guy a check, I'll pay you back. Now his friend says, okay, I gave the guy a check. Right? So, you said you're going to pay me back for that. So, okay, I said I was going to pay you back for that, but Lamaisa, at the end of the day, that check that you gave never got banked. So no money ever went out of your bank account. So who says that I owe you money at all now? I beg your pardon? Why did you tell him that? Oh, yeah, okay. He's an honest fellow. You know. It may even be, we can take discussion a stage further. He had paid him back for the check. He had paid him for the check. And then the fellow says, 6 months later, when he realizes the check's now out of date, that the check's not being cashed at all. So he's being paid for the check. Does he have to give the cash back?
When you lose a check in life, then you make a letter to the bank, block it.
To stop it.
Give another check.
We'll come to that.
Because the check is lost, and the guy can take the
We'll come to that in a minute.
It's not honest.
Yeah, the question is,
it has to pay back what
right? The question is, mitzad halacha, is it like losing cash? If you lose cash, you lost it. Too bad. I paid you cash, you lost it. What do you mean? You lost. Too bad, your problem.
Yeah, okay. But cash you cannot stop. A check you can stop.
Okay. So now, the... The point which is central here to understanding of the sugya, whether it's comparable or not, the Gemara Baba Kama Kuf Tezayin, lies in the Tosis. The Tosis over there asks a question. And it says there that the Gemara concludes with Baba Kama, and in fact, it wasn't necessary for a sufferer to go and reacquire his own donkey. He didn't need to be koina his donkey. Why? Because he only put it there adato the ariye. He put it there adato that the lion will eat it. But if the adato to afkari, did he put it there? Yeah, he adato the kula amaloy afkari. He wasn't mafkari for everybody. Adato the ariye afkari. So Tosis there asks a question. And he says, there's a Gemara Baba Metzia that someone who says something, a matzal min harim, min adoiv, he can keep it. That's if a lion has grabbed hold of something, and someone manages to chase away that chase away the lion, and he saves the animals belong to somebody, and the lion grabbed hold of that, and someone else manages to chase away his matzal from that lion, he can keep it. Why? Because the rega, the moment that the lion has got his hands on it, it's considered. It's considered it's them in menu called Odom. He lost it. So Tosis says, so how is that consistent with the Gemara Baba Kama? The Gemara Baba Kama seems to say that once the lion hasn't eaten it, it still belongs to Rav Safra. So Tosis says it's different. Why? Because the lion which travelled with them sometimes ate the food they gave them, and sometimes didn't eat the food they gave them. You know, it depends. If the lion was hungry that day, it wasn't hungry that day. You know very well when you enter this arrangement that every person has to present their food to the lion, they know that their food may not get eaten on that particular day. They're looking after the lion. But once the lion has grabbed something, that's different. Then you know it's lost. So if you chase away the lion, so you mean zeifer to it. So Tosis is essentially saying, telling us, that when you put something in a case of risk, and you know that it may not be used. That was the idea then, that it may not be eaten. The idea of putting it there was to put it there ala sofik. So you fulfilled your obligation. But, see, the poskim, when you give somebody a check, it's not that you can use it, you may use it, you know the intention is clearly for him to use it. Therefore, what happens? What's the analysis? The analysis is for this. That if somebody goes to present a check for payment, and that check is not banked. So now, and it's now 6 months are up. So the person can't turn around and say that, you know, my sir, you never banked the check. I gave you the option of paying. Why? Because the idea is that this check is going to be used. If it's not used, you still owe him the money. They owe him when you received goods, and you've owed him the money. Now, what is the case of that? So now, when you owe somebody money, so it depends. If the person that you owe is a non-Jew, so you have a debt to a non-Jew. So a debt to a non-Jew, you're not required to go out of your way to pay him. But if the person that you owe the money to is a Jew, so you're required to go out of your way to repay the loan. Now, does that mean that you have to check your account to see, has the check right now? You don't have to assume that he's not buying the check. Right? But if you are aware, one could possibly argue, even if you're aware that the check hasn't been banked, so you're aware that you owe him money, as long as he doesn't claim it from you, it could be you're not mukhuyuv to. Certainly, the proper thing to do would be to notify him, to tell him, you know, this check, it might be a gedov hashavah sabedo. Now, what happens if the father's lost the check? So now, he's lost the check. So if he's lost the check, l'chari, the same thing would apply. The only problem is, losing a check is you're exposed to an element of risk. Why? Because you're exposed to an element of risk. A, first of all, who says he's lost the check? He tells you he's lost the check. Are you going to believe him? Who says he's lost the check? Okay, so fine. So let's say he can substantiate that the check has been lost. Or let's say you see the check being ripped up. Yeah. So now, the cheque is lost. If you see the cheque being ripped up, okay, fine. But let's say you believe in the cheque has been lost. But someone else can find that cheque and bank it. Okay. So now, there's an option. Some of the gentlemen said here, you can stop the cheque. You can cancel the cheque. Fine. So A, B, A, am I going to cancel the cheque? There's a cheque out there. I gave you a cheque. Yeah. Now, you're coming back to me. You're asking me, do me a favour, cancel the cheque and issue a new one. Am I going to? I've given you the cheque. You go find it. And B, even if you cancel the cheque, you're still not indemnified against all losses. Why? Because a person can, in theory, produce a cheque which has been cancelled and use that as a basis to make a claim as a right that you owe me money. If somebody pays a cheque and someone else stops it, and then you stop it. So the person can come to a court, to a Bezdin, and say, listen, someone bought these goods off me, he paid the cheque, and he stopped it. The cheque will be a raya that someone owes you money. So either the person himself can make a claim later, or someone else who finds a cheque can use it as a basis for a claim. So now, am I mechuyev to suffer that possibility of a loss? So the argument is as follows. Number one, if someone comes to you and says, I've lost a cheque, I want to stop it. So the answer is, yes, you're mechuyev to stop the cheque and issue with a new one. Why? It's a din of Hashavas Aveda. Hashavas Aveda requires you to do what you can to help him retrieve what's due to him. So if you have the option of stopping the cheque, stop the cheque. So now you're going to tell me, there may be costs incurred. Okay, so now we're going to go into the pasha of when there are costs incurred of Hashavas Aveda, who's required to suffer those costs. But essentially, you're required to do it under the framework of Hashavas Aveda. Then, you're going to tell me 1 minute, but I'm exposing myself to a possible risk. So the answer to that is, okay, so you're entitled to ask security for that risk. You ask them to indemnify you against the possibility of a claim being made. There are different ways of doing it. You may want a guarantor. You may want him to write a document that he then, and that's why you're entitled to ask for security for that. But that doesn't, doesn't exempt you from your chiyuv that you owe him the money. Now.
Sorry. In your case, the moicher got his money because he passed the check on.
He passed the check on. Yeah. Next case. The fellow gentleman, the gentleman received his goods and he asked his friend to write a check out for him. And there's now a discussion between him and his friend. So his friend said, I wrote out a check for you. I did the service. Please pay for it. What happened to my account is not going to get it to you. And he says, no, I was only required to pay you if the money goes out of your account. So now, there is somebody who suffered a loss here, but that person can't be identified. If the person who suffered the loss in the line can be identified, so certainly he's entitled to get his money back, and entitled to get his claim, and entitled to either demand a new check, or get his money back, and then the discussion comes around. But we're saying the check has been lost, and no one is entertaining the possibility of it resurfacing. Now, the question becomes, what obligates the fellow who received his goods to pay the fellow who wrote out the cheque? What is that obligation? Now, there are various headings of claim that can be used to extract that money, either midin a nene, or midin a garmi, or even better than that, hoitzi momon al piv. There's different headings in halacha when you tell someone to spend money and I'll repay you. Hoitzi momon al piv. Yeah? So then you're required to reimburse it. But all the headings of claim only require a person to reimburse somebody for the loss that they suffered. You spend the money, I told you to spend the money. Right? So repay me. But if you actually never end up spending that money, so then you're not required to reimburse him. So, and Achalami, there is somebody who has a claim here, but we can't identify that person. Okay? The person, Lechayra, if is not required to pay his friend for the check, and if he's already paid his friend for the check, his check will be required to return the money back to him. Okay. So now, essentially what we're saying is at this stage, is that when you're given the check, then when you're given the check, that's not the end of the story. But if the check ends up not being banked, you still owe the money. So now, there's going to be a flip side to this argument. What's the flip side? The flip side is when we deal with schiyas poyalim, when you're employer-employee. Now, there's a halacha of baltolin. You employ somebody to do a job, you contract somebody to do a job. So Okay, I'm sure you've heard Shurim about the parameters of when it does apply and when it doesn't apply. Someone asks him to do a job, you have to pay him immediately. He's finished the job, he demands payment, you have money, you have to pay him. If not, you're over lo sasi. So now, if you pay him with a check, is that considered having paid him? So, generally, so if you tell me that's not the end of the payment, till he banks the check, he's not considered to have received his payment. So generally, the posse can say, no. When it comes to a poil, that's considered, you can fulfill the bal tolin by having paid him. Why? Because that is an accepted form of payment. Now, this is a kula and a khumra. Why? It's a kula. That number one, you say, okay, you fulfill your obligation, but it's also a khumra. Because the person can say, you're only over the laser say, if you have the ability to pay. Someone that doesn't have cash, doesn't have money to pay his worker, you're not over bal tolin. You have money, you don't pay your worker, you're over bal tolin. So what happens if I don't have money, but I do have a check? So if you're telling me that the check fulfills the criteria of bal tolin, so you'll be required to make sure you pay him by check. Now, the next stage is as follows. What happens if you have a situation like this? Somebody asks a lawyer or a surveyor to do a job for him. And let's talk about a case where he didn't do the job. He was negligent in his not doing the job. There's a negligence here. And the person who asked him to do the job suffered a loss as a result of that. Professional negligence. He asked him to, on his own, to survey a property. He didn't survey the property. And it turns out the place was dry rot, and the deal went ahead because the surveyor didn't notify him. And the deal went ahead, and it turns out the place is dry rot on the property. So now, there's a claim for professional negligence. If it goes to Din Torah, there is a mechanism for making such a claim. The mechanism for that is L'chayr HaShir in itself. But that would apply if the person was your employee. If a person is your employee, so you've got a right to demand from him a certain standard. And you can say to him, you were given the job to do, you were negligent doing the job, so therefore, given the parameters of halacha, you're entitled to compensation for the negligence. But that's only if he's your employee. Now what happens if it turns out that you wrote a check to pay him, and he never cashed that check? So what happened? We're talking about a case, not that he messed up the job. He didn't bechalal do the job. He was never his chilva malocha. He didn't do anything. So what makes him your employee? Employee is someone who does a job for you. Or I paid him to do a job. He was supposed to do the job. He took payment for the job. So he's my employee. And he didn't do the job. He messed up. And he was negligent. And I suffered a loss as a result of that. Okay, so I'm starting the conversation. But if I never paid him, so then, he's not my employee. What makes him my employee? I didn't pay him. He hasn't done any work for you. Okay, so you got time. You said you were going to do the work. Okay, so someone said to me, tells you, okay, I'm going to be your employee. So to claim in halacha, so if somebody says, I'm going to do the job for you, and he doesn't actually end up doing the job for you, that's a very weak claim. That's a much schwacher claim to say, okay, I was going to do the job for you, and he didn't do it for you. But if he is your employee, you've got a strong claim against him. So now, are we going to say that you're paid by check, it's not being banked, so then, no, that's not paid. Till you bank the check, that's not paid. Or, fuck it, I gave you the possibility of paying, so that's sufficient. So here, we've got the flip side of the shaila. Because at the beginning we were talking about, you paid, you received the goods, and you gave him a check, the check wasn't banked, so you say, that's not paid. Okay. So it's not paid. Okay, so fine. So now, the solicitor, the surveyor, will say, okay, I got a check. It's not been banked. I'm not being paid. No. The rega that you've given him the ability to payment, that's sufficient to create, the possible say, that's sufficient to create a contractual obligation that will make him liable as a poil for the damages that person is entitled as a poil. Now, there is another shayla that crops up quite often, and that is, when a person receives, is supposed to receive a check from a company as compensation or whatever it is, and for some reason an error occurs, and the company hadn't registered, they sent it out, and they send out a second check. They send out a second check in error. So now, the question becomes as follows. You've got a check from a company for money which essentially you're not entitled to. Now, we're dealing, let's say, with a non-Jewish company, and the principle is, Tov's Akum is Mutter, But Gezerakum is also. Right? So if the guy sends you a package in the post by mistake, fine. So then tells Akum it's his, okay, fine. He wants it back, he can ask for it back, he can ask for payment for it, fine. But essentially he sent it back. But if he tells you something which he hasn't sent you something, you can't go and help yourself to that. That's Gezerakum. So now, when he sent you the check, do we consider that as Tolos Akum? He sent you something in the post, you received it, fine, if you want it back. Or no, the fact is that this check, until you actually go ahead and bank it, until you go ahead and deposit it and withdraw those funds, you haven't got anything from it. So therefore, by banking, depositing that check, that now becomes a question of Gezer Akum, which is awesome. And one can distinguish as follows. What happens is another case, similar case, again a bit more sophisticated. The company, you are entitled to compensation. But you're entitled, let's say, to £100 compensation, and the company, in error, makes a check and writes out the check as an extra note on, and it sends you £1,000 of compensation instead of £100. Apparently, these things do happen. They never happened to me, but apparently, they do happen. The company writes out the wrong amounts, and the check is more. So now, even we're going to say that this is Gezer Akum, yeah, to bank the check, which most post can say, to go ahead and deposit a check, which most post can say is Gezer Akum. Yeah. But where I'm entitled to deposit a check because they owe me money. So now, there's a strong argument to say, okay, the check, you can bank it. They owe you money. You're entitled to get the money that they owe you. Ah, but they only owe you £100 or £1,000. Okay, so I owe them £900 and change. There's nothing wrong with actually banking that check to get my money. Fine. Now they're entitled to make a claim against me on £900. So I owe the Goshen company £900 money. Again, that will go now back into Avkos Halvorsoi. So where, okay, also, let's clarify that if somebody's owed £100 by a company and he gets two checks for £100 by mistake, yeah, so you won't be entitled to bank both of those checks based on this argument. You can bank one check for £100, the company owes you that. To bank the second check, you're going to see a shayla of Gezer Akum. If they send you one check for £200, right, so you can deposit that check to get your £100 back, and you'll owe the company £100. So what we've discussed is really mamash scratched the surface in the halacha. There's a gentleman who's written the same check by halacha, two volumes. So we've mamash scratched the surface here of the some of the angles of what a check could be and what a check couldn't be, and one small possibility of the nafkaminas la halacha. Thank you very much for listening.